Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Go on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, a 1 hour edition of the show today.
Woo!
Early,
what are you guys going to do?
Early day baseball today. Vern's On Deck show starts 1 hour from right now as the Royals wrap up their series against the Brewers. Going for a series win today after the loss yesterday. Still a chance to do that.
Do you guys want to just talk about the Nintendo Switch 2 for the entire hour?
I kind of do want to spend some time talking about that. $449 for Nintendo Switch 2?
Oh, my kid's going to be begging for it.
Have fun with that.
How do you, like, just out of curiosity how other people do this. My kid's six. How do you explain to your kid who is six economic classes and where we belong inside of that, and the availability to just spend $450 on a random June day is not something the Tap family does.
What do you think the trade? Do you have one or two of the Nintendo Switches?
We have one Nintendo Switch right now.
What can you get trading one of them in right now?
And like, then just try to get down to one Nintendo Switch?
Like if you say, look,
yeah, that's not a bad idea.
You know what? You want the new one? Well, then you're going to go 3 months without one. We're going to sell the one you have now. You don't have them for 3 months. We're going to use that money because the value is going to be more today than it is in 3 months when everybody's trying to trade theirs in. And you go ahead and you sell their Switch right this second. And you use some of that money to buy the new one in July or June, whenever it's coming out. June.
He really likes the Nintendo Switch. Like, he is a big fan. So 3 months would be tough for him.
I know. But you said you wanted a lesson.
That's the incentive.
That's the incentive.
Maybe I could, like, get him. He's six. I can't put him to work. I know. Can we do a lemonade stand? What do we do?
You could do that.
What do we do to get this $450? And that's before a game, mind you.
Yeah.
No, Mario game is going to be $80.
My nephews have Nintendo Switch as well. The Switch 2 does look pretty awesome, but $449 is wild. It's no different than any other console now from a cost perspective. I always thought the Switch was going to be, you know, it was cheaper than PS5 and Xbox, which I guess it technically still is a little cheaper. But
I think it's a versatility thing.
June 5th, Nintendo Switch 2 is going to be released. They fully revealed it today. Pre-orders go live 7 days from today.
The Mario Kart game looks cool. I'm sure they'll have some other Mario game. But, like, I mean, you're in deep. And look, it's backwards compatible. So, right, any of the games they own now, they can still own. Let's
talk about this more a little bit later this hour, because there was one feature you did mention that I actually think is really cool in today's digital world of video games, that you're going to be able to do something that we did easily as kids that you haven't been able to do in the digital era of video games, but maybe Nintendo has fixed that. But let's start with some Royals baseball. We mentioned the games coming up here in just a couple hours right here on 96.5 The Fan. The Royals had no offense yesterday in a 5-0 loss. And we can talk about the pitching, which continues from a starting perspective to be very good, but I mean, it's pretty simple. You had four hits in the game, Cody. Had some errors in the game as well. A sloppy game. Vinny wasn't
in the lineup. Lorenzo was pretty good. We can talk about him in a little bit. But.
Yeah. Vinny wasn't in the lineup. Jonathan India and Bobby Witt, basically all you got out of the offense. And even then, that was few and far between. One of those games, it felt like watching that one, you never offensively had any shot to put some pressure on the Brewers. You never put the Brewers in a tough spot in that game.
No, you didn't. Honestly, they didn't even have to question whether or not the closest it probably was is when you got out of a little bit of a jam and it was only 2-0. You're like, you know what? You know, the old classic bloop and a blast kind of thing, and figure out what you do. Maybe we could get there. But offensively, look, here's part of it. With Vinny out of the lineup, Massey was hitting third, Canna was hitting cleanup, And you were once again reminded that the lack of outfield bat shortens this lineup significantly, right? It just, it's not a very deep lineup. And if you're missing one of the three, four guys now, you trust it in the lineup, India, Bobby, and Salvi, and of course, Bobby, who did I miss? Doesn't matter. You know the four. India, whoever. When you, the four guys you trust in the lineup, once you, if one of those guys is not playing, the lineup is way, way, way shorter. Again, I'm not going to overlook at this one, just like I didn't overlook at the one yesterday. The division's off to a slow start. Three of the teams in the division are 2-3. One is 1-4. So, like, it's just not been a very, and the Twins are, yeah, the Twins have been really bad. So I think it's actually four teams are 2-3. So nobody's off to some like rocket start where you're like, oh no, the Guardians are 5 or 6-0. What are we going to do? Everyone's just kind of laying in the weeds, knocking their heads against things. The disappointing part was they did not roll a good starting pitcher out there. So it felt like you probably should have been able to take a little advantage. And no, it's just another slow start for the offense in April.
Brewers got their first win of the season. I mean, they were going to win eventually, right? And they were 0-4 out of the gate with the one loss to the Royals and the three against the Yankees before yesterday. So yeah, just, it was one of those just frustrating games to watch because you felt like offensively there was never an opportunity to get anything going. And so today, Vinny, if you're wondering, is back in the lineup. And just kind of an off day. The fact that he's back there today means it wasn't an injury thing or anything. They're just trying to maybe still take it easy.
They said before the season they were going to take some games off here and there more than they normally would.
And he's DHing still today. So that is now almost a week into the season where he's not playing first base. And so they're going to be really cautious still with the hamstring and just leave him in. That's some things got moved around today. Day game after a night game, Salvi's not catching. Salvi's playing first today. Freddie Fermin's going to be behind the dish. We've seen that play out time and time again.
There's only one conversation that I don't think is too early as it relates to what we've seen in the early going for the Royals. That is, how long is the MJ Melendez leash? I understand it's a handful of games, and I've seen a couple of Royals fans on social media trying to go with the Trey Turner approach, which is like, hey, when he comes back home, cheer for the man, right? Root him on. Give him the confidence he needs in order to get there. Look, I like that system fine. I do think it's better to encourage somebody. This is not meant to discourage MJ Melendez, but I told you before the year, there was no player on the team who needed a fast start for the confidence purposes more than MJ Melendez. He will now sit for the second time in six games because he's not in the starting lineup today. And in those other games, he has one hit, one walk, six strikeouts, and he looks like he's guessing. So, like, the leash has got to be, I don't know, 45 games, or not 45 games, 45 days at most? 30 days?
Yeah,
like
I think.
I mean, you can't keep playing him if it's going to go like this.
I think you have to still at least go the 30-day mark before you really think about a drastic decision, you know, in terms of options, sending him down, trying to get some confidence in AAA and things like that. Because that's, if he is still hitting anywhere near what he's doing right now, which is, as you said, the numbers there, if that's the case 3 weeks from now, then I think you can cut back the playing time, but then he also at that point just needs to go to AAA and get confidence. It is too early.
A lot of you would,
and I'm not sure if he does. I think he does though, because since he's been called up, I don't believe they've really sent him back and forth the way they have with some other players in the past. We'd have to double check. I would be surprised if he doesn't have a single option left.
Yeah,
he might even have multiple. But with him, there's plenty of the fan base that, of course, is just done. And I get it because he's been a frustrating player. And last year, there's a carryover effect from that as well, where he hit, 206 or something last season. And if that, and it was brutal. So I understand you're like, well, you've seen enough. I don't need another 30 days. I'm trying to also think of just what do I think's going to happen as well. If he doesn't get going, J.J. Bacall in this front office, they're 2 weeks of the season. They're not sending the guy that they had starting left field on opening day down. You know, he was a starting left fielder. You don't move on from that guy 2 weeks in the season.
The problem is they don't have that answer in the minor leagues, or somebody would have competed against him.
Yeah, who do
it's
you
India.
Want?
It's India in left field permanently, and it's Michael Garcia being
third
back
base.
To a full-time starter. And the question with that is, when he was exposed as a full-time starter last year, did that go as smooth as you wanted to? And the answer was no. Now, he's off to a better start, so there's probably a lot of fans who are like, sure,
right.
Give me Michael Garcia.
But again,
we
need
day.
To see that for a month. I also need to see
Michael. Say Jack Caglione. I just don't think that's in any way realistic.
Right. Like, I want to see Michael Garcia continue to be as effective as he is for another 30 days or so. If he's doing that, if India is playing strong left field and MJ still is hitting, you know, below the Mendoza line, well, then we're having a conversation, I think, in 30 days. But I don't expect, like, I know we're talking about today. As far as I'm concerned, like, it's a bit of a waste of time in terms of the, they should send him down or they should make this move. They're not doing anything in the first 10, we're not even a full week into the season. Tomorrow is that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So they're not, 6 days into the year, they're not going to make a drastic change. But we have seen they also are very quick, either in the lineup or in game, to pull him out.
He's the first guy to get pinch hit for.
Yep, and Mikel will come and pinch hit for him, and he'll play, you know, left or third base while India goes to left field. So we've totally seen that, and I understand the frustration. It's just, don't, if you're hoping like tomorrow they're going to make a move, it's just not happening. They're going to at least wait until the calendar turns to May.
Yeah, I don't blame them for doing that. They have to have some patience. And look, I Vern this morning was on the morning show and was talking about it, and it's like the same thing. It's like for Caglione to get called up, in a lot of ways things will have to have gone wrong. Like, he's the savior of the offense, and they got no one to play the outfield
also has to perform. Guys,
he doesn't even play till Friday.
Yes, the AA opener for Northwest Arkansas, they're playing in Tulsa on Friday. That's game one. So it'll get louder and louder if 3 weeks into Caglione's AA career, if he is hitting, you know, 320, Cody, with six home runs in the first month or something. Okay, I understand. But it's a combination of guys not performing at the big league level, Caglione learning an outfield position, and hitting.
All the things
all
have
that has to
align.
Happen. And if that happens, then we can be sitting here in a month and a half or 2 months from now and actually really talking about the need to do that.
Textline's asking, hey, why are we picking on MJ Melendez? Hunter Renfro's been just as bad. This just goes back to the beginning of the season. We knew the weakness of this team was the outfield. It remains to be the outfield. The other reason why I think, and this is not for Kansas City, the reason why there's more patience for it is Hunter Renfro is a player that you have less emotion attached to. MJ Melendez was drafted by this team. He was a highly thought of prospect. He's been with this team and he played for multiple years. And Hunter Renfro has a longer track record of being a successful major league player. Yeah, not like a great baseball player, but like a good baseball player, you know?
More confident that Hunter Renfro will get back to what his stats say on the baseball card versus MJ, because the stats on his baseball card don't look great, you know? And that's what it is. And the thought about what kind of player, and the reason why I'm sure it's been very difficult for the Royals to not still be optimistic about him, because the ceiling is still, you know, viewed as high for Melendez. And I know some of you will laugh at that, but that is how they view it. They view that his ceiling is still high, and that's why it's hard to quit some of that kind of athleticism and everything. You can see it. But it has not come together to this point in time in his big league career. And that's why we're having these conversations. I just think we got to pump the brakes on the, oh my gosh, they got to go make a decision now. It's not even in a week into the season.
I did see the Casey Starr had an article up about what some of the players think about the torpedo bat. And it was a mixed reaction, right? Some guys are like, it's being overplayed. But like guys like Michael Massey were like, well, look, I'm not saying I'm not intrigued by what's happening in New York, because they hit more home runs yesterday and have now set a major league record for the most home runs hit in the first five or six games or whatever it is in a major league baseball season. So like there were a couple of guys, somebody's like, get MJ the torpedo bat. Nothing, no bad ideas on MJ's game right now. That's for damn sure. He wants to get a torpedo bat and see if he can make some contact. Fine by me. Like, I'm not saying it's a bad idea, because he is. My bigger problem is that once again, it feels like the season has started and he is like lost at the plate, as in not like he's not making good time. Like, he's guessing. Like, do you know that a pitch is coming, or are you just guessing? Players can start cold and still seem like they have an approach. Like, they have a plan. They have a plan of attack. You see what they're trying to do with the plate. I don't see what he's trying to do with the plate. That's my bigger question, is like, do you have a plan of attack for where you are going to go in this at bat? Like, we can say Kyle Isbell is a limited offensive player. When he goes to the dish, I feel like he has a plan of how he's trying to get on base. He's a limited player maybe offensively, but like, he at least has an approach.
Yeah, and we said during spring with MJ, the stance switch. What happens when he goes for, I think, the example, you know, an 0-for-20 stretch or an 0-for-16 stretch, and you know he's testing that already right out of the gate, unfortunately. Not 0-for, but just about, right? He has the one hit. Yeah. And how long does he stick with that? You know, what's that?
Our fear was that he was going to switch back. Yeah.
3 weeks, like 3 weeks from now, is he going to switch back to what he had done majority of his career? Just because he's like, well, this isn't working. It's not any better. I might as well go back to something I was comfortable. And then you get, then that's when, to me, you just get lost all the way around. You already think he's doing that, but
I don't know that it's happened yet, but like, yeah. I thought he needed a good start. And for a guy who needed a good start, this is a pretty tough first week, right? You sit twice, and in the games you're playing, you're just not good. Like, you know, it's there's no confidence. There's no confidence in what he's doing right now. Look, maybe he can have a three-hit game tomorrow, or wait, they're off tomorrow, Friday, yeah. right? And he gets 2 days to clear his head, and things start going better. And then we're having a different conversation, and maybe he can still get it. But it's like, I just think he's putting a lot of, yeah, as the text line said, a lot of pressure on himself, which is probably... And not unwarranted pressure, right? He's playing for his major league career right now. I can't blame him.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll talk about the rotation, though. Now one time through the rotation. Got to feel a little bit better about that over the last two outings. Mm-hmm. Cole Reagan's back on the bump tonight, or this afternoon, I'm sorry, in just a couple hours. This morning, as far as I'm concerned, in Milwaukee. A early, early day game for the Royals right here on 96.5 The Fan. But The Athletic and our friend Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider, part of a report that the Chiefs are requesting to become a fixture on Christmas Day. They basically want to become the Dallas Cowboys of Christmas Day. You know, the Cowboys, of course, are always on Thanksgiving, or so are the Lions. The Chiefs have been on Christmas Day multiple years now. They were just on Christmas Day this past season.
They've
on
been
the
on
road,
Christmas Day 2 years in a row.
In Pittsburgh. For starters, I get what Clark Hunt is thinking. Hey, we can become that franchise that is synonymous with Christmas Day.
Do you remember when they tried to become the Thanksgiving night staple? So this is not the first time they've attempted this.
So the NFL may not do it, but that's what Clark Hunt would like to see. I would assume they would like the majority of them to also be home games, too. I know that this last one was in Pittsburgh, but home games. I'll be honest, can't stand it. I understand why he would be intrigued by it and why the organization would. If I'm a player, I would hate it. If I'm a fan, personally, I wouldn't like it. If I'm a season ticket holder, I wouldn't like it as well. I'm not saying everybody feels that way, but I think this sucks for fans, frankly, because, you know, Christmas Day, whatever you got plans with your family. I understand some of you are fine with taking your whole family to the game at Arrowhead, and that's cool. I'm not saying there aren't people that think that's going to be a great thing. But I'm speaking from my experience, and this is somebody that doesn't even celebrate Christmas. You guys know that, but Hanukkah falls on Christmas sometimes, and we do some of our family stuff on Christmas Day as well. I've got a family member that has season tickets, and I know he will never be able to really go to a Christmas Day Chiefs game. And there's a lot of you that know, like, between your wife and your kids and stuff, like, they're just not going to be able to make that work. So that's one game a year, maybe on your season ticket package, you can't go to. You know, that day is not, for a lot of people, focused around football. And now it kind of forces you to make those choices around the day. And I just hate it, man. I really do. I like to, it's why on Thanksgiving, I don't like them playing on Thanksgiving either. I like to just sit back and enjoy the games, or enjoy your time, obviously, with your family as well. I can't stand it.
Look, I get it. They've been able to get away with this on Thanksgiving for Detroit and for the Cowboys forever. So if you're a member of the Cowboys, you know that on Thanksgiving, but it's Christmas. Every year, you want the Chiefs to play on Christmas? I can't even express how much I hate it. It is the most selfish thing the Chiefs could do. Just for what? Some better advertisement? Because you're the team on Christmas Day? Let's own Christmas? You're going to make every player play, every front office member work, every person who works in your stadium department never have a normal Christmas and get to work for your organization? That's the worst. And I think from the fan perspective, total nightmare. Total nightmare. Because if it's on Christmas Day, they're going to try to do it a lot like the way they do like Thanksgiving, would be my guess. And that game, a lot of times, will be at noon or two. It won't be Christmas night. It won't be like 7 o'clock Christmas Day every time. Although, in fairness,
it is a triple header this year.
It is a triple header this year. So there will be a Christmas night game. But I think if you become the established team, you do it like you're the Cowboys, right? You're never the Christmas night game, Gold. You're the Christmas at noon team every year. Or maybe you are Christmas at night. But so every year you want to do it. Here's the thing. I'm just like, the Chiefs are just not going to get my attention on that one. And from a fan's perspective, like, if you're a season ticket holder, I just want you to think about, like, where you have young kids. Like, you talk about your personal experience. Here's mine. Let's say from Christmases, from the age your kids are 15 to 18 or 5 to 18. So, like, they're fully kids. They're in your house. You only get so many of those Christmas days. Or, like you said, celebrating Hanukkah with your family when the kids are little and all that. You're going to convince your significant other, you're going to convince your entire family, because, like, we get together as a family, right? Like, it's me, my brothers, my sisters, my nieces, and my nephews. It is a large-scale gathering, right, around Christmas. Not always on Christmas Day for my family, in fairness. But so, like, now, if one grouping of that is a season ticket holder, they're just skipping every year, or they're having to sell the tickets every year, or they're having to do this. It's a logistical nightmare. It's way worse to be the Christmas Day team every year than the Thanksgiving team. I'm not saying that's great. It is way worse to be the Christmas. Not from like a, religion basis or like that. I'm just saying like,
but partially, I mean, for a lot of people,
that's a busier damn day. I think more people have stuff like, for instance, like I think across denominations, because Christmas Day is a national holiday that almost every single employee on the planet is off. Not everybody, but like 80% of America is off. People celebrate that day and to put a Chiefs game in.
I think for the players, too. I mean, look at this past year. We played the audio. You had Chris Jones upset about the scheduling. Like, hey, if you're going to have us playing on Christmas Day. And last year, Christmas Day fell on a Wednesday, so it was a little bit more unique. This is going to be a Thursday this year. And, of course, the year after, Friday and then Saturday, Sunday. We know how this works. So I think that the challenge you would have is in those years, you're hurting your own team on the field. You know, that's something that could be challenging just from the coaching end. Like I don't, if you're a player, not even talking about them being away from their family on Christmas. Yeah. I'm just talking about from a true strategic standpoint, that could be really challenging. And you put your team kind of up against it a little bit.
Like I understand. And this is always the argument for, right? Being a professional athlete offers a different level of work with different expectations, right? You're a professional athlete. So like LeBron James has got to like work on a lot of Christmas days because the NBA on TNT on Christmas is a huge thing. I care. It's funny. I care less about this inconveniencing the players and the coaches who have the means to alter any part of their schedule in order for it to work best for them. Right. They have those abilities. I care way more. And I text line. I think one person is being sarcastic about it. I care way more about it for every stadium worker who does not have a choice in doing this. Right. They have to go. They have to maintain their job. They have to go and do this job. And every Christmas Day now, if they want to be a stadium worker or earn their living that way, or be a TV camera operator, or be like, does it be a concessions or whatever, you're out. Now you got to work for 7 hours every Christmas Day. And that's crazy. That's a crazy thing to ask anybody who works for you, not to mention all the like we mentioned, the season ticket or anybody else who's inconvenienced by this. Or the people whose families are just going to be pissed that a football game's on while we're trying to celebrate Christmas. Or any other normal
stuff. Someone
says,
what happens the year when Christmas lands on a Tuesday? Which that'll happen in 5 years.
Just played one on
whatever.
A Wednesday. Yeah. I'm going to guess the NFL never not plays on Christmas Day ever again. That it does not matter if it's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. They will play on Christmas now.
But to the texter's question, 913-586-7965. I mean, if down the road, 5-6 years from now, if it's on a Tuesday, my guess is what you would have to then have the, let's say in the Chiefs circumstance here, the Chiefs would play on the Thursday. Like that would be, they would have to play the Thursday night game. Mm-hmm. So then they get Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday off. They get 4 days off. Like we just had the Saturday, so Sunday, Monday, Tuesday off. That was only 3 days, I guess. So that's probably what they would do.
They'd bye week it probably on the Tuesday.
Bye week it. Or you'd play on the Thursday. It'd still be short week, unless they did the bye that late.
I think you'd almost bye week it. I could be wrong. Goodell's still pushing for 18 games, but I'm guessing you'd bye week it for the team who had to play on that Tuesday, because that's once only every 7 years you got to deal with it, Gold. Like the Tuesday is only a problem. Every other day you already have built in for how to give people the time off. They play the Saturday for the Wednesday. For the Tuesday is the only challenge.
For this year, in terms of the schedule, since it is a Thursday, let's say the Chiefs do play on Christmas again.
Well, I mean, sounds like it. Yeah.
Are they feeling like it?
They would bye week either the front or the back of it and then have a Thursday night the game after, right?
No, they just play Saturday or Sunday. They don't care. Thursday night, they make teams play on Thursday nights already. That's already pre-built in. Thursday doesn't change anything about your schedule. You can still make them play whenever.
This year, from a scheduling and Chiefs, from a team perspective,
it just goes as normal.
It's not actually nearly as bad as last year. But the issue, I think that, and I'm not saying it. Look, there's a few of you have texted in and said you love that it's on Christmas Day. So I'm not saying like it's 100% uniform. Everybody hates the Chiefs.
Yeah, there are going to be people who like making it a part of their Christmas Day tradition.
I think there's a good chunk of fans, though, that do not like it. And it is a big inconvenience. It causes them to change their plans potentially, or they got to sell their tickets if they're a season ticket holder. If they got,
like you said, maybe in your brother-in-law's case, he's probably going to sell them every year.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's one of those things. And I guess some of it depends, if you're the age of your kids, right? Your kids, Cody's age, or your kids in college, or whatever, right? I think everybody's going to have a unique circumstance, but
life stages make it easier. It's easier for you, right?
Yeah.
It's not that it's impossible. Yeah. It's easier for you than it is for me. I'm never, ever, ever going to that game at this current stage, unless they also want to go. And some families will. Some families, when you're close knit and there's four of you and your season ticket members, you go to every game anyway, you'll just make that a staple of your Christmas Day tradition. I understand that. That's I think I think a majority of people, this is going to inconvenience. And I care more. And again, you get a choice in going to the game, at least if you're a person. You can choose not to watch it. I can choose not to watch it. We can choose not to go. We have those choices. That's why I was bringing up the people who have to, like, the people forced to work every Christmas. Like, I've got some friends who work for the Chiefs organization in, like, the video department. So now, and they've worked there for 10 years, but now they're saying, hey, for the next 15 years, you want to keep this job, you want to keep earning a living, you work on Christmas now. And it's not to say people don't, right? People who work in ERs or doctors. Like, there are other people who have to do that. I will say, in fairness, a lot of those rotate in other departments or industries in which, like, where you work one or the other, or you rotate on a yearly basis. But, you know, the NFL doesn't feel like it should be a forced mandatory work on Christmas holiday.
And we'll see if this, remember, the Chiefs are basically requesting for them to become a fixture. We'll see if the NFL decides to actually do that or not. But just yesterday, we were talking about the reality. Once again, these are two examples in back-to-back days of what we all know, right? Everything's about money. Everything's about TV revenue. And this is that as well from the Chiefs' perspective. Yesterday, we had the report that the NFL is going to allow Thursday night Sunday flex, not just to be 28 days out, but 21 days out. Once again, that's something that is inconveniencing fans and causing problem for fans, but they frankly don't care as much about the fans in the seats as they do you and I and everybody watching at home on our couch.
They care about the TV partner who's going to pay them a massive load of cash in the NFL to have games on Christmas.
I'm curious if you guys feel this way. So for the 816, somebody says, think about how the Cowboys people feel about working every Thanksgiving. Yeah. I wonder, because it is a staple there, and it has been for such a long time, not that it's an honor to work on the Cowboys game, but it's something that you don't mind doing because it's always been that way. If you grew up a cow, all those little things, where trying to make something a staple is a lot more difficult, I think, for people to get behind, where all of a sudden, it's not like it's always been this way for the Chiefs. They're trying to create it to be that way. So everything around the workers and everything like that is having to change. It feels like it's more difficult to jump into the Chiefs side of things, where the Cowboys, look, it's always been that way. People enjoy it for that reason. The Lions on Thanksgiving, same sort of thing. It's just a part of the way that things go, where it hasn't been that way for the Chiefs.
I understand what the Chiefs are trying to establish as
the team
on Christmas. But I think you have the rotation. I think the issue is that, you know, the teams you're referencing, you're right. That's been going on for 30 years or whatever with the Lions. I mean, NBA, I mean, LeBron's played on Christmas Day, probably
Knicks,
10 straight years or whatever, right? Like, so
every baseball player plays on July 4th.
It happens, but I guess my argument is, like, the Lakers aren't requesting to play on Christmas every single day.
Right, no, totally. I agree with
that's
you guys.
That's the thing. Now, the Lakers like it because they're, like, usually if you're playing on Christmas Day in the NBA, it's because you're one of the marquee teams in the league
and
at
also,
that moment.
And also, basketball
right?
games don't take as much time investment from you have to get to you have to get there early. The game is longer, all of that stuff.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll find out. Remember, the schedule comes out next month, middle of May, usually first week. They'll start to trickle out the international games. We already know some of them, and the primetime games. Who are the Eagles playing on their Thursday opener? All that kind of stuff. But anyway, up next, let's talk a little bit more about the Royals, though. One time through the rotation, our thoughts on that. And we'll get a little draft talk in as well, as we have a short one-hour show today before we hand things off to Vern on 96.5 The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So, download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates. From all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Man. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody
Pick a
Tapp.
Random song, Drew, and just play it. That's what Drew I told Nixon. Myself. You know?
Yeah, no, you're good. Coming up in 25 minutes, we're headed things off to Vern, his On Deck show. He gets you set for Royals Brewers series finale right here on 96.5 The Fan.
You look like you're invested in something.
Yeah.
Checking out those Nintendo Switch 2 prices
no,
some more?
No, I wasn't looking at that. So our betting Discord channel, people were talking about some fun flyer bets today. Not necessarily involving the Royals, but just some fun home run bets. There's a couple, there's a bunch of afternoon games. It's a Wednesday, right? And so there's some noon games. And yeah, it's getaway day in the big league. So there's a couple, like, you know, parlay four guys at home run together and kick out about $8,000 and see what happens, you know?
Well, that sounds
nice. A
little
$5 flyer.
A little tough on the taxes, I guess, but, you know.
You'll deal with that if you win, Cody. I think nobody will complain, you know?
Just set it aside, you know?
If you end up getting a win, I think people will be fine.
Yeah, I don't think I'll care if I win. For $5 to win $8,000? I mean, who are the players hitting home runs? MJ, Kyle, Isbell?
Not for the Royals game. No Royals, no Royals and Brewers involved in this.
No?
No.
Has not been a home run fest out of those two teams in the early.
It really hasn't. No, it really has not been the case. Let's talk about the Royals, though. And we're now one time through the rotation.
Yeah.
And Reagans will get going again today. And we all know he wasn't that sharp in his first outing, but still found a way to kind of grind through and get to the fifth inning. Same really goes for Lugo. And then it was a combination of Chris Bubich, who was great. And then Michael Lorenzen for your fifth starter. I got no problem with how he pitched, of course, yesterday against the Brewers. They had no offense to support him. So one time through, I actually think you feel good because I'm not worried about Reagans or Lugo. Michael Lorenzen as your fifth starter. I mean, it's probably at times will be up and down, but you'll take what you had. And Chris Bubich, as we discussed yesterday, he's your replacement for Brady Singer, who's now in Cincinnati. And if Chris Bubich puts anything like that together a few times throughout the season, you feel much, much better about it. So right now it's the offense again, just like last year. You know, the rotation you felt like was good enough. The bullpen struggled. So far, the bullpen's been all right for the most part, other than maybe one player in particular. Two come to mind. And then the offense, the same issue. Who outside of Vinny and Bobby and Salvi are going to hit? Well, India has done a nice job. Mikel's have a nice start, but you're getting nothing out of
Renfro, MJ.
Isbell's been okay offensively.
Been fine. Yeah, I'm not really complaining. Canna hasn't really hit. Taking a few walks here or there. The rotation, I actually feel pretty good. Yeah, Lugo and Reagans didn't have and Walker didn't have the premier starts I'm accustomed to seeing. But as you pointed out, two of those three battled even though they didn't have their best stuff. So I'm okay. And I was more concerned about their ability to replace what they got out of Alec Marsh for a chunk of the year and what they got out of Brady Singer for the chunk of the year, which was the actual strength of their rotation, is that they went five deep for at least a decent part of the year last year. So I'm like, okay, what's Lorenzo going to offer? Pretty good for start one. I'm not out here complaining. It wasn't his fault that they lost last night. I understand he gave up some runs. He's their fifth starter for a reason.
Yeah.
And then Chris Bubich, as you mentioned, was excellent. I actually feel pretty good about the rotation the first time through. I think that should give you some decent confidence. I know the record doesn't reflect it because they're 2-3. But as you said, that speaks way more about their inability to put some runs on the board over the last couple of games than anything else. And yesterday's probably just giving Vinny a day off. They can't really afford it. They can't really afford Vinny days off, Bobby days off, India days off, or Salvador Perez days off. When those occur, you're going to need a excellent performance from your starting pitcher. Now, I will say, I'd like to see let me get a dominant one today, Cole. The Brewers are striking out at kind of a crazy rate to open the season. They're no offensive juggernaut to open the year either. How about a classic Cole destroys the Brewers lineup kind of thing here in an hour and a half. I think that's what I'm looking for.
I mean, that'd be nice. That'd certainly be nice. I thought if you go back and look at the opening day outing from Cole Reagans, you know, there was some moments in the game where, I mean, he described it. Give some credit to the hitters and also a couple that just blooped there in between some spots in the outfield. I didn't think Cole Reagans was bad in his opening day out, and he just wasn't as sharp and had a little bad luck in the first inning.
Young Cole Reagans.
Got his pitch count up early, which changed the way the whole game went for him. So, yeah, he's the pitcher I'm least worried about. I think you're the same on that. As far as, like, today, yeah, I mean, I think, can he get you into the sixth inning? Can he keep you in the game, to say the least? Right now, with the way the offense was yesterday, you wonder, you know, what is it capable of? It's so tough to tell what kind of run mark you're looking at, you know, with a starter on the mound, because we're now entering the fifth game of the year, or sixth game of the year, I guess. And 2 days ago, they scored 10 runs. And yesterday, I don't score any. Okay, so do I think, like...
So they're averaging 5.5 runs. Not bad. Pretty good.
Yeah, so, like, you feel like in a game, most days, of course, if your pitcher, if Cole Reagans gives up 2 or 3 runs or less in the game, you feel like you should be able to win a baseball game. And certainly, if he's what you're describing, which is, like, giving up no runs or one run, then obviously, it's a situation where you feel pretty good. I think Vinny back in the lineup will certainly help with some of this that from the offense they didn't have yesterday.
I will say, Cole Reagans over-under today is 7.5, and it's still -25.
Six and a half or 7.5?
7.5.
It didn't go up. It was 6.5 30 minutes ago.
We're looking at different betting sites, maybe too.
Yeah.
On at least one, it is -125. It's 7.5. So, like, I mean, you gotta, like, they think he's going to strike out some batters today against the way it works. But yeah, look, Cole Reagans, what an ace does is they dominate 2 out of every 3 starts they have. And then in the third start, I expect him to be quality, right? You don't get your ass kicked. You keep the team in the game and you try to grind out some version of a win. I expect you to be maybe not 7 innings, 1 run, 10 strikeouts, 2 out of every 3 games.
Right.
But I expect you to be the better starting pitcher. You give up 2 runs or less, you go 6 or more innings, and you are the biggest reason why they won the game. What I want to see, I just would like to see, they have another offensive game today. I'd be like, okay, yes, they didn't have Vinny, wasn't their day, but against a pitching staff who has struggled, certainly in the early portion of the season, you got him a couple of times. Now, I'll say the Brewers are rolling out what has traditionally been a pretty good starter for them in Freddy Peralta.
Yeah, and Vinny's never faced Peralta, so I could go a variety of ways today.
Yeah, it's always depending on if you feel good about that or not. When it's a Royals pitcher they've never... when it's a guy the Royals are facing they've never faced before, I hate it. It never goes well. Like the guy last night, it never goes well. The Royals, for the last 15 years of me watching their games, if it's like... this starter just came from AAA. He's faced like 4 batters in the majors. He had a 6 earned run average in AAA. I'm like, well, this is going to be a long day at the plate. I don't know why or how, but this is going to be a long day at the plate because it always is. Something about not knowing who they're facing consistently doing. And I'd like to see like Bobby get back into the homer department. You know, I kind of feel like I told you, and I think you and I discussed this, felt like a 40 home run year wasn't out of the question for Bobby. I want to see him rip a few off. I know he doesn't have the torpedo bat like the New York Yankees, but I'd like to see a couple, not today. I just meant like over the next couple of games, I'd like to see like 2-3 home runs of a next 6-7 game stretch where, you know, it gets hot for a minute. And
sure. It's just, it's so early. It's funny.
Oh, like, I know.
And I know you know that, but like, it's so like, I would like to see him get hot. Well, I mean, he's only had 6 games to get hot, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
I'm not worried about Bobby.
It's, it's very, very early for everybody. And there's just certain players that nobody should be concerned about. I get the conversations around MJ and Renfroe and others, you know, it takes a lot more. Like someone even on the text line asked, you know, what if Cole Reagans doesn't look sharp again
today? All right, talk about him tomorrow.
But yeah, we'll talk about it. As far as like worried. No, after 2 outings, if you tell me that his 2 outings end up being both similar to what we just saw on opening day, and then he does it again today where it's just not as sharp. No, it got to be way worse than that. Got to see it more than 2 times. Cause what happens today? Like let's say today he goes and does pitch 7 innings all of a sudden and is great. You know, then it just proves overall that what we saw on opening day was an anomaly. And I think it is.
Bobby Wood Jr.'s stolen bases is off to a hot start.
Yes, it is.
If you, for some reason, bet the over on that, he's probably pacing for 100, would be my guess. He's got 3 through 5 games, what, 60%? So probably 100 stolen bases 5 games in. No, he is a contributor. I'm not worried. Like, if you made me rank out every player I'm the most concerned about, 1 through 26,
He's last.
He's dead last. He's dead. Bobby Witt Jr. is dead. He's the last player I am worried about. I'd worry about Tyler Tolbert more than him.
That, by the way, is a mock draft sounder. I know we had severe weather in the area. I can promise you that is a mock draft sounder.
The weather is starting to clear up.
Looks like the sun is getting ready to come out.
Yeah. Last night, I know we had some severe weather early this morning, but we are all good in that department. This means a new NFL mock draft has been found by our guy, Drew Nixon.
Yeah, the first we're going to go to, the first time we've gone to Field Yates of ESPN. Oh, okay. And I will say this. I don't think Chiefs fans are going to like this. I don't think you guys will like this. Going even further, Missouri Tigers fans are going to like this. And here is the reason why. At pick 31, Chiefs do not have a 31st pick. In fact, they trade back with the Las Vegas Raiders.
I mean, I like that.
The Chiefs trade back with the Raiders, and the Raiders take Luther Burden at 31.
Oh, there it is. So they trade back. Luther Burden's on the board.
And they trade
him to the Raiders. And instead you let him go to the Raiders. Ew, that is gross.
From a Missouri.
That feels like one of the gut punchiest ways for the first round to go.
It's a hell of a combo. A Missouri Tiger and then becomes a Raider. I'm just saying. You want to talk about two things.
You got no chance of liking that guy.
Two things that I don't like very much. Oh, boy.
And it's not like the Raiders traded up ahead of you and drafted. They trade with you, which is very surprising. I don't know if the Chiefs would do this. But in this trade.
Trades happen sometimes.
The Chiefs would send 31 and 95 to the Raiders for 37 and they would get 68. So they would almost have back-to-back picks in the third
round.
So they'd
have 65, 68. They'd have four in the third.
I'm fine with trading back. I mean, that's fine.
I'll say this. They can even take Luther Burden. If that's the compensation back, I am interested. That would mean the Chiefs would still have, now instead of four top 100 picks, they'd have five top 100 picks and they'd only move back six spots from the first to the second round? I mean, I'd live with that.
At 37, Field Yates has him taking Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
That's a guy really
that we've had
one.
Come up before as well.
Yeah, a bunch of times.
In the second round, because this is a two-round mock from, again, Field Yates, he has him taking Landon Jackson. He is an edge rusher from Arkansas.
Landon Jackson.
Yes, so he has a new name.
That is a new name. We have not discussed.
Real quick, this
is
his scouting report.
His description from Field Yates is, he would provide their defense with outstanding length and an empty the tank mentality on every play.
Jackson,
he had 25 tackles for loss and 13 sacks over the last two seasons. High motor.
Uh-huh.
It is an
second
edge rusher.
Second team all SEC, led team with 6.5 sacks.
The more that we see edge rushers taken, I know that Felix obviously seems to be more talked about on our show than any of the others, but it feels like the more that edge rushers is brought up,
round pick.
The more that the more the edge rusher is brought up and you're just looking at production value, they're just trying to find guys to play, but also just as a backup plan in case if something happens.
Our favorite NFL Network description, strength, weaknesses. Here you go. Here's a couple that stand out. Weakness, too tight hip to dip and corner tightly at top of the rush.
Yeah.
You know, you hate when you hear that.
Tight hips. The worst.
The other one, below average body control. Change of direction, fluidity, strength, flashes, legitimate feel for timing, inside rush moves, slinks into the backfield with forward push and slippery upper half.
Oh, slippery upper half,
man. That's a new one.
You like that out of an edge rusher. Slippery. Who's his player comp? He always has
someone I've never heard of. Logan Hall. Should I know who that is?
I've heard of that player.
Iowa State? Maybe. That might be a reach.
Well, he plays for the Bucks. I'm sorry. He is out of Houston.
Okay. Way off.
Same conference. 5.5 sacks last year.
He did. Logan Hall. I've never heard of Logan Hall. No disrespect to you, sir, but I've never heard of you.
He's been a 3-year starter playing 49 games in the
league. He's got 8.5 sacks in his 3-year career.
Last year was a breakout year for Logan Hall, so
we had to wait. That's the comp.
Honestly, looking at Logan Hall's stats, maybe, you know, my hope is still that this is the year that Felix Anudike puts together. He had 2.5, half, and then 5.5, and then he mattered, you know? That's what I want.
All right, so that's a little two-round. Anybody else stand out? Those are the Chiefs picks, but I'm just curious. How did he have the top five picks going in that mock?
Well, let me pull it back up because you're good. So number one overall.
How dare you not have it ready?
Number one overall, Cam Ward to the Tennessee Titans. Abdul Carter, number two to the Browns, which would be a nightmare for the AFC North. The Giants taking Shedeur Sanders at 3, Travis Hunter to the Patriots at 4, and then Mason Graham D tackle at 5. Mason Graham to the Jaguars.
Make a ton of
sense. Don't know if that is an automatic, but it sounds like Mason Graham to the Jaguars is brought up more than anybody else. That if Travis Hunter's not there, it's Mason Graham going to the Jaguars at 5.
I mean, the first
Abdul
four
Carter,
picks,
Miles Garrett sounds like
unbelievable,
a nightmare.
I mean, that does feel like you could try to win football games 12-9. I don't know if it'll work, but you could try. You could give it a shot with whoever their starter is there.
Kenny Pickett, right? Oh, or is it?
My God, yeah, is Kenny, right now the starter
it is
there? Kenny
Pickett,
Pickett,
I believe, currently. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what? I did see yesterday somebody, one NFL guy said that all the Diana Rossini, she had said that the rumblings is like she just still kind of expects Kirk Cousins to end up there. Like if they don't, but he
well,
wants,
I don't know how I would feel as a Browns fan.
He
with that.
Wants. I mean, dude, that's better than Kenny Pickett or Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, but if you can't,
their
move,
owner finally
might.
Admitted something we've all known for 3 years, which is he pretty much called it a horrible, miserable trade that's going to have to dig themselves out of for years.
He now, shouldn't Arthur, even have said anything. He should have just kept on going.
Now, Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, he reportedly met with Kirk Cousins for a couple hours yesterday, and Kirk Cousins made it clear, like you know, he wants to start, and then. Raheem Morris was asked about it and said, like, I expect him not to show up to OTAs. We know he wants to, like, we don't expect him to show up to anything voluntary.
Such a weird dynamic.
It is
there.
Weird. It is weird. I still can't imagine Kirk Cousins week one sitting on the bench in Atlanta behind Michael Penix all year.
Agreed.
Talk about the awkwardness of a QB room and everything. I'm not sure. All right. Quick show today. As we told you, Royals baseball, Vern's on Deck show is coming up next. Tomorrow, we have a full 4-hour show. Imagine that. We do have that.
And Friday.
Yeah, well, not for you. Binks and Friday.
But the show does.
What a week for you, man. What a week.
It makes
what a
no
week.
Sense. My week's so stupid.
Vern's coming up next.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.